gets a little full and hard to kind of take off, you know, as you get older. And that's largely going to be part of my message this morning, is taking advantage of opportunities. And I'm going to give several examples as we go. But you know, I've got multiple stories of just people in this room who have really taken advantage of, for example, their summers. Other people have done different things, and you know, we have some teens who are just about ready to be in position to do something like that. And so, you know, a lot of those kids have heard me say that, and you know, I encourage them to do that. But I think we're called to kind of do this thing of taking advantage of opportunities. Ephesians 5, 15 and 17 says, "Be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days of it are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." So that's my message this morning, is taking advantage of opportunities. And I want to start out with maybe giving some examples of different opportunities from the Bible, from my life, from stories. As people, human beings, we have the opportunity to do this. The very first thing that came to mind when I thought about examples are Joshua and Caleb from the Old Testament. They were part of a group of 12 who were sent to spy on the land of Canaan. You know, this was a land that that was promised to them, and you know, it just seemed like a very exciting time for them to be a part of this this exciting time in the Israelites' history, to go and see it and come back and be a part of history. But as a lot of us know, we know that 10 of those came back and were scared and did not, were not ready to take advantage of this opportunity that was before them. But we know that Joshua and Caleb came back and they were pumped and they were excited and they wanted to go in and take the land as quickly as possible. And that was not of the opinion of this other 10. And so we see that just an example there of an opportunity that was taken advantage of and some missed opportunities as well. Also think of the parable of the Good Samaritan and how two people passed this man who was hurt and beaten and half dead by before the Samaritan came by and saw this man in dire need and helped him get back on his feet and really went above and beyond the call of duty there to help his fellow man out. Another opportunity there that was taken advantage of. But, you know, I think we can look, we certainly have a lot of examples in our Bible, but we can just think about our day-to-day opportunities that we have that don't, you know, that aren't from history or that aren't of the magnitude even of going somewhere for a summer for 6 weeks. We can think about things that happen much more often in our life, simple things that maybe sometimes we don't see as opportunities to help someone, opportunities to improve our own life, different simple little things that kind of go under the radar sometime. And I want to talk to you for a minute and let us think about some of those. And the first one I think of and I have listed here is, you know, how we spend our time. Do we see that as an opportunity? You see time as an opportunity. You know, it's something that, you know, as I get older, you know, I value it more and more. And you know, there's the idea that you don't get it back. And so the fact that we have it before us and we know that it's here, are we taking advantage of it? You know, and I've got a couple ideas on, you know, ways to do that. I'm not going to try to list them all, but, you know, things like spending time with our brothers and sisters, I think is a great way to take advantage of time. You know, time spent with God certainly ought to be of high importance to us. But we find a lot of ways to fill our time, you know, doing other things, you know, playing or watching sports or video games. You know, if we think about ratios, and I do that a lot, percentages, you know, how are we spending our time in terms of being with our brothers and sisters, with God, versus maybe some of the other things that we do? And do you see your time as an opportunity? I hope you will. Another example is just the way we interact with people on a day-to-day basis. For a lot of us, it's at work or school, but how are we dealing with our fellow man? You know, just some little things I've got here is meeting people with a smile. You know, as you're walking one way and somebody else is walking the other way. You know, it's something that I was told I ought to do one day because I didn't smile enough, you know. And I've tried to do that, but you know, as I'm walking by, you know, I see some people will look at me in the face, you know, and just smile or look me in the eye, and some people, you know, will kind of be looking at the floor, and I've done that before too. And you think that's a real simple little thing, but you know, it's an opportunity as you pass by and not even speaking to someone. It's something that you know I've been challenged with, so I thought I would do the same with you. Colossians 4:4-6 reads, "Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders, and make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be full of grace always, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." What about saying thank you? And you know, we talked to Bradley about saying please and thank you, and you know, it happens sometimes and sometimes it doesn't. And I'm not just talking about the words itself, but really genuinely thanking someone for something that they do, a heartfelt thank you that's not just in passing. You know, and that could happen in a lot of different ways, couldn't it? It could happen at a restaurant, you know, dealing with a waiter or dealing with a waitress there. You know, what about thanking a teacher for, you know, what they've done for you? Or as a parent, what about thanking the teacher of my child who, you know, works and prepares different things for him? You know, I ought to be very, very thankful for those people. And a coach, you know, what about you guys that play sports? You know, when's the last time you thanked your coach for what they did? And you know, I've had the opportunity to coach a lot of young people, and there's a couple in the audience today who thank me after every practice, and that means, you know, that means a lot to me. That you know, they would take the time to come do that, and I know they get some motivation to go do that. But it means a lot to me as their coach. Well, let me go to another verse here. "Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing." Very popular verse when we talk about this idea of encouraging people, from Thessalonians there. And I got kind of out of the blue a text from one of my former players this week. And you know, a guy who played for me for several years. And, you know, we didn't always get along the best. We bumped heads from time to time. But, you know, he's off at college now and you know, is kind of excited about playing college soccer. And you know, he just out of the blue kind of sent me a text and said, thank you for, you know, what you taught me on the field. But really kind of what meant the most to me was, you know, he said mentally what you prepared me for. And you know, there for a brief moment, it, you know, kind of felt like, you know, that's kind of why I do, you know, kind of why I do what I do. And he went out of the way to, you know, send me that message, because that's how we communicate now, is with the text, to send me that message and say thank you. And, you know, another example, I ran to a friend of mine at the fitness center on Wednesday, and you know, told him I was speaking this morning, and he's here, and I went, you know, when I saw him, it was real encouraging to me. So, you know, recognizing those times as little bitty things to as opportunities to encourage someone can really go a long way. As I mentioned, I do coach soccer, and for the past few years, I've been a coach at the high school in Manchester, the men's soccer team. And you know, I develop these philosophies on how to deal with players and how to deal with teams. And you know, what I'd like for them to do is you know, see practice in a certain way. And Will, I'm going to ask you, how do I ask you to see practice? Will. As an opportunity. There you go. I ask my players to see practice as an opportunity. And you might think that's a little naive on my part as a coach, but I don't care. I think that, you know, if I can get, you know, my boys to see practice as an opportunity to get better, to motivate themselves to improve, I think that, you know, that will go farther than other ways of motivating. But we all have opinions on that kind of thing. But I want them to realize that and see practice as a way to get better. And kind of resembling that, you know, how do we see our time here together, as, you know, as we meet, as we assemble together as a body? Do we see this time as an opportunity? And, you know, I think a lot of times we try to make analogies between our faith and sports, and that's not what I'm trying to do here. But do you see this as a time to be with your brothers and sisters and really get ready for the real world? Because that's, you know, that's not what this is, you know, from 9 to 11:30, 11:05 on Sundays. That's not what this is. You know, the real world is out there, and so we have such an opportunity to come together and kind of encourage each other and learn from each other, build each other up, and get ready and recharge for, you know, the real world. This is an opportunity for us to meet together. So I think I've got a few ways of, there's a question: how do you get better at taking advantage of opportunities? How do you improve in that area? The first point I have is you have to identify them first. And, you know, in a lot of the simple everyday things that we talk about, they happen real quick, don't they? And it could be passing somebody by, or it could be seeing someone that you know or that you don't know. And typically, at least it's been my experience, is if you don't see the opportunity really quickly, it almost passes you by. And so, you know, I think that that we need to identify the opportunity first before we ever have a chance of taking advantage of it. So the eyes to see opportunities, I think, are very important. And, you know, Joel spoke to us several weeks ago about this idea of opening our eyes and gave us some examples from the Bible. Elisha was privy to the king of Aram, his army, where they were going to be, when they were going to be there, and you know this made the king quite upset, and ended up surrounding Elisha in his city and his servant. Elisha's servant was very concerned at that time about being surrounded, and Elisha just told his servant to, you know, look around you, open your eyes and see, and he prayed to God that he would see that, you know, they had God on their side. Acts 9 had Saul on his way to Damascus, and as we know, he had been about persecuting and killing Christians. He had his eyes opened, first shut, blinded by an angel of the Lord, and only later was he allowed to see again, and immediately took advantage of that opportunity to profess his faith, be baptized, and you know we know that Saul later became Paul. You know, as a side note, don't you wish sometimes that we could have like an experience like that, to be just totally blinded by God, and really truly open our eyes to see. Finding opportunities is not hard, especially if you look for them in trials. When things aren't going the way that you think they ought to, there is an opportunity for us to act. I got a couple quotes here. The first from Charles Swindoll says, "We're all faced with a series of great opportunities, brilliantly disguised as impossible situations." So, you know, the idea there is when things you know are not going like we think they ought to, or a difficult, impossible task is before us, there's a chance to find an opportunity to do good, to help someone. Similar idea in Mark. This reads, "Nation will go to war against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in many parts of the world, as well as famines. But this is only the first of the birth pains, with more to come. When these things happen, watch out. You'll be handed over to the local councils and beaten in the synagogues. You'll stand trial before governors and kings because you are my followers. But this will be your opportunity to tell them about me. For the good news must first be preached to all nations." Another quote from the coach John Wooden. "Things turn out best for those who make the best of the way things turn out." And, you know, I'm reading his book now, and it's full of sound principles, and I thought that this was very fitting when I read this. Do you see opportunities when really bad things happen? Do you see opportunities for God to be glorified, or are you trying to look for them? Are you trying to see them? Are you praying that God will open your eyes to the opportunities? What about the state of our body here? We can say that, you know, there's been some difficult times for us, and you know, the same applies. I think that now more than ever we ought to see this you know, as an opportunity for us. We have some people who aren't going to be with us anymore who have done and continue to do some really great things. And are we going to, you know, see this as an opportunity to step in and fill some of those big shoes? You know, we could lay down and kind of, you know, lick our wounds, so to speak. You know, as we talked about this kind of a little bit on Wednesday night in our teen class, and Franklin Roberts said, you know, this is an opportunity for us to step up. And I, as soon as he said that, I thought, I didn't tell him, but I said, I'm going to use that. I'm going to use that Sunday morning. So I think this is an opportunity for us to step up, right? And we challenged also the teens in our youth group to do the same in a time when maybe they don't have a central person to look to get things done. If we could all come together and find opportunities to serve, find ways to build each other up, life will continue, and we can be in it together. There's also opportunities that I think we ought to resist, and we can think of that in several different directions. But a few examples here in 1 Samuel, we read about David's opportunity to kill Saul, the king who'd been pursuing him, had been chasing him, was basically delivered right in the hands of David, and an opportunity for him to go and be rid of him, to kill him. But instead, you know, what does he do? He simply cuts a piece of his robe or coat, whatever he was wearing, off as maybe a way to say, I could have done it, could have killed him. But we read even later that he was very regretful and remorseful for even having done that. There was a grand opportunity in front of David to get him back for what he'd done, but he resisted. We read about another opportunity in Mark. I'm not sure if I have this one. I guess not. In Mark 14, we read that Judas was actively seeking an opportunity in which to kill Jesus. And when the time was right, we read, it took place. Judas turned him in. And, you know, there was an opportunity that could have been resisted, but wasn't. Thank you. I'll take the time to read that. Judas, one of the 12, went to the chief priests to betray Jesus to them, and they were delighted to hear this and promised to give him money. So he watched for an opportunity to hand him over. And on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, when it was customary to sacrifice the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples asked him, "Where do you want us to go and make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" And so, you know, we find there that the opportunity was actively being sought by Judas to kill Jesus. And I think that those stories can tell us that, you know, if you're convicted that a friend or a brother is doing something wrong or something that you don't agree with, I think there's an opportunity before you. We could publicly choose to maybe criticize that person or embarrass that person. Or we could, you know, talk to them to maybe better understand and maybe show, you know, why that's not, or show them why they may be misunderstanding. Or show them, yes, that's right, you have, we ought to be concerned, but, you know, maybe here's the right way to handle it. I hope hope I'm not being too vague there, but I hope that we can use those examples as ways to act and opportunities that maybe we resist, opportunities that to really get somebody. We ought to stay away from those. Galatians 6:9-11 reads, "Let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. And therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith." And, you know, I hope in this time, especially to our body here, that that we'll take advantage of opportunities to build each other up and not to bring each other down. So after we've identified the opportunities, we have to act on it. And, you know, some examples come to mind here. I think many of you know that some of the young adults have gotten together, and it's something that it just seemed like the time was right as different people were moving back to the community or moving here for the first time, that we ought to be doing things together. And, you know, there was a common theme of you know, wanting to just be together, and, you know, that was acted on. And we've the way we've kind of structured it is that everyone is sharing kind of the responsibilities. And, you know, we have some people that are admittedly not accustomed to maybe leading a discussion, but that really hasn't stopped that from happening. We're all taking turns on sharing the responsibilities. And I guess I want to just take a minute to you know, publicly invite anyone wanting to be involved. We meet on Sunday mornings over here behind back. It's been very encouraging for me to be with those good people and being involved in that ministry, and I'm looking forward to what God has in store for us there. But I think we could talk also about things that prevent us from acting on opportunities. And, you know, we've all heard the idea of your comfort zone. And it's gotten a lot of attention in the, you know, in the media in a few years. And I've got, I have a definition of the comfort zone. It's a very studious definition. It says the comfort zone is a behavioral state within which a person operates in an anxiety-neutral condition, using a limited set of behaviors to deliver a steady level of performance, usually without a sense of risk. And, you know, I've underlined some of those words there. Sounds depressing, doesn't it? It sounds boring, the comfort zone does. And I mention this only because I think it's an enemy, really, to us that as we want to act maybe on an opportunity that comes before us, it's just easier sometimes not to do it, isn't it? Not to help that person that we see, or not to do something that we're normally unaccustomed to doing. Got a little cartoon, I think, and some of you may have seen this quote on my Facebook page this week, but it says the greatest enemy to your potential is the comfort zone. And so, you know, I really thought that sounded right. And I thought that rather than, you know, me getting up here and talking to you about getting out of your comfort zone and telling us that we ought to do that I would demonstrate getting, you know, me leaving my comfort zone in front of you, and just as an example, I might find somebody in the audience that maybe I haven't taken the time to meet yet, and I thought I might go down there right now and introduce myself to that person. And I thought, well, I don't want to embarrass you know, the person that I choose that I haven't met before, or even more sometimes awkward is somebody that you've met before, but you don't remember their name. That might be the ultimate challenge, right? So, but I'm not going to do that. But what I am going to do is ask us right now, if it's convenient, to all do that. I'm going to ask if you're able to, just as we do kind of before we meet together, before we start our worship, as we get up and greet each other, I'm going to ask us to do that right now, to stand up. And the thing here is that I want you to find somebody that maybe you don't know, to say hi to somebody that you don't know and meet that person, or maybe re-meet that person, right? I want us to do this together, and I'm going to do it as well. So if it's convenient, and I think your geography has a lot to do with meeting somebody that you don't know, it might take a trip across the building to do it. So I want to give us a few minutes right now for you to find somebody to meet or to talk to, okay? Okay, I'm not done yet, so I don't want anybody to get the impression that I'm finished. But take your time, just a few more minutes. Morning. Appreciate you guys doing that for me. I didn't know how that might go over. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. I've really enjoyed being able to hear from different people in our congregation over the past several months, and have enjoyed it enough to kind of wonder could that work on a regular basis? And I've talked to some of you about, getting to the idea of getting to know, our body here better. It's been a good blessing for me. I've had several examples from my life, and I think that's only because I happen to know myself the best. But be sure that I've definitely had my share of missed opportunities. One thing that comes to mind is, I mentioned to you some of the good things I got to do in college, and I think about, my roommate that I shared that little bitty dorm room with for the first couple of years, and how I never really cared enough for him to see him as a soul, and I believe I missed a lot of opportunities with him. And I miss a ton of opportunities, at home. Some of the times, I see them when they're there, and sometimes I may don't. Lots of missed opportunities, and the images here of some soccer guys that I know, missing the opportunity, and it's just so apparent, in their face that they let something slip by that could have been, probably a goal that they should have scored but just didn't. Because I think opportunities that slip by are just that, they're missed opportunities. We got to, Cheryl and Bradley and I got to visit Pearl Harbor a couple weeks ago, and really the highlight was probably the video that they showed us before we went out there, about how the Japanese aircraft were actually detected on a very primitive form of radar before the attack happened, and that it was reported, but it was assumed that they were friendly. That was friendly aircraft coming into Hawaii there. But you know, we know that that wasn't the case. And you know, just to think about the opportunity there to save lives in that case, it really has to be viewed as a missed opportunity. I'm going to close and finish here, and as you know, as I do, there's traditionally this is opportunity for you know anyone who would like the prayers of our congregation here together at this time to do it, and I encourage you to do that. But I hope just as important that you've been given the chance this morning to reflect on opportunities that come across you, come across your life daily. And asking God that we'll see those opportunities, and once we see them, we'll be able to have the courage to act. So, you know, I want to leave you with that, and you know, maybe some of my examples didn't resound with you. That's okay, but the theme ought to challenge us to look for different ways to serve, to help, to mentor, to coach, to teach. There's so many different things that you know that we have the opportunity to do, and simple things with our time that will take advantage of that. I'm finished. Thank you for this opportunity. God bless you guys.
Let's stand and sing. Oh, how he loves you and me.
Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave.